those are still funding the pipeline. We are alive. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, and please join me in the call to worship found on page 2 in the bulletin. Among the poor, among the proud,
among the persecuted,
among the privileged,
Christ is coming to make all things new. In the private house, in the public place,
in the wedding feast,
in the judgment hall,
Christ is coming to make all things new.
With a gentle touch, with an angry word,
with a clear conscience,
with a burning love,
Christ is coming to make all things new.
That the kingdom might come, that the world might believe, within us, without us, behind us, before us.
In this place, in every place.
For this time, for all time.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
Sisters and brothers, today we celebrate the great news that the Prince of Peace has finally arrived in the holy city of Jerusalem. Let us begin our worship by welcoming Christ not just into this place, but into our hearts, by sharing the peace of Christ with one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now give it away. Please be seated. Good morning. We can do better than that. Good morning. Absolutely. Friends, welcome to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ here in Stockbridge. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, which means this: you are all totally, completely, and fully welcome here. No matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, whoever you love, whatever kind of body you have, whoever you vote for, whoever you cheer for, you are welcome here in this place. I don't know if you know this, but in the history of the world, there has never been a moment just like this one. In the history of the world, there never has been a moment just like this one. So friends, I urge you, let go of everything that has come before. Don't worry about what awaits you at home, and simply be here. This is a moment that was made for the worship of God, and we are all thrilled that you are here. Speaking of being here, I don't know if you know this, but this sanctuary has been warmed up already this morning. That's right. You are not the first group to worship in this room today. We had about 60 men from across the Berkshire Association participate in the annual Palm Sunday worship right here. David Anderegg led the music, and we had a great time. We did. Let me ask this. If there are men who actually got here this morning around 6 a.m. or who helped prepare for yesterday and are still here now, could you stand up so that we can see you and thank you? Yeah. Friends, I ask that anyone who has an announcement to make come forward at this time to do so. While you are moving, there are a couple that I would like to make. First, if you are a new time visitor here, if we do not yet know how to get in contact with you, I hope you'll look down in your pew right in front of you. There will be a card there. I ask you to take it, to fill it out, and to place it in our offering basket. I promise you, if you give me enough information to get a hold of you, I will. So please do. Also, I ask you to take out your purple sheet in your bulletin. In there are announcements about the life of this church. We intend for you to take that purple bulletin home with you. Put it on your fridge. Look at all the different events that will be coming up this week. There are a couple I want to bring to your attention. We are entering Holy Week. We will be joining once again with St. Paul's Episcopal Church for worship on both Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. We will have a service around the table on Maundy Thursday to recognize the Last Supper and to remember the story of that day. It is at 7 o'clock, and we will actually gather in the Jonathan Edwards Room. Worship for Good Friday will take place at noon. If you come here, we would be happy, but you will be in the wrong place. On Friday, we will be worshiping down the street at St. Paul's. We'll leave signs on the door, but we hope to see you there as well. Are there other announcements today?
I just wanted to add my voice to Reverend Damro to thank all the men who worked yesterday setting up tables and cooking this morning, and to beg your indulgence if you look next to you and there's a man who is sleeping, just let him sleep. I got here at 5:15 to open up and warm up the church, and he was already at his desk. So I'm hoping he won't fall asleep. But anybody else, just let him sleep. Thank you.
There will be a youth choir rehearsal right after the service. So all little ones, come on up, and we'll practice singing for Easter Sunday.
And in your bulletin, you will see a yellow flyer. This is for the memorial plants, if you wish to have them in the church at the sanctuary here next week. Today is the last day for orders to go in, so if you would like to, fill out one of these. The box is in the Jonathan Edwards room on a table, and if you that know me, you know my address. If you would like to also send it to me, that would be great too. Thank you.
Friends, there never has been, nor will there ever be, another moment just like this one. It is a moment made for the worship of God. So let's get to it.
I will read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 to 40, and it's found on page 913 in your pew Bible. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out."
All right. Let me invite all the children who are here with us today to come on forward. Come on up, and why don't you have a seat right there on the steps looking out at all these people? Go ahead, you can sit there.
Harder.
Not quite so high. Come and sit on these steps. Well, good morning. I have a question for you. Some of you are going to give me an answer. What is today called? Yep. It is called Palm Sunday. You guys all brought in all those beautiful palms. We all waved them. Why is it called Palm Sunday? Do you know? You don't know. Well, maybe someone else can tell you. Do any of you know why today is called Palm Sunday? No. Well, here's the story behind that. In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, there's a story about Jesus going into Jerusalem for the first time. And the people were really excited about that. And so to welcome Jesus, they stood along the streets and they waved the palms. You see, palms are signs of peace and victory. So they waved these palms to celebrate that Jesus had come and Jesus was their king. That's what they were doing. Now, did anybody listen to Mary this morning as she did the reading? Did anyone else here listen to Mary as she did the reading this morning? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and if you can't get it, I'm going to ask them. How many times in the reading this morning did Mary mention people waving palms? Zero times. You were absolutely right. Absolutely. In Luke's gospel, Palm Sunday is actually not Palm Sunday at all, even though that's what we call it. Did anybody hear what they put on the ground instead of palms? Yeah. They put coats. Absolutely. They put coats just like this one. Now, here's a question for you. At this time of year, why would you put on a coat? Okay, because it's cold. Absolutely. And so you put cloaks on because it's cold. The people of that time, sometimes if they didn't have anywhere to sleep or if they didn't have a blanket, they would even sleep in their coats. So they kept them warm. But there's another thing about clothes that I think are important. Sometimes what we wear tells people a little bit about who we are, right? So I'm going to show you some pictures of some outfits, and I'm going to see if you can tell me what kind of person wears this. How about this one? Okay, so if you saw somebody wearing this, you would know they were a firefighter, right? All right, I need a boy to answer this question. What if you saw somebody wearing this? It would be a girl, probably. But what kind of person would wear a fancy dress like this? Yeah, Irving. A princess, right. So by looking at somebody wearing this, you might say, ooh, there's an important princess. All right, how about this one? Yeah, a doctor. So if you saw somebody wearing this, you would think a doctor. How about this one? Could be a preacher, kind of like my nice long white hair, right? But I don't normally carry that. I don't normally care that. Who? Yeah. A judge. Absolutely right. And how about this? Soccer players. Absolutely. So the important thing here is that sometimes the clothes we wear tells people about who we are. And so when the disciples took off their cloaks, they were also taking off what kept them warm, and they were also saying, the only thing that you need to know about us is that we follow Jesus. That's the only thing you have to know. And so you know what they did with their cloaks? They laid them all down the street so that Jesus' donkey could ride over it to show him honor. Does anybody see any coats in here? There are a bunch of them right there. Now, I want you to imagine that this church is Jerusalem and that this right here is the main street. The disciples took coats, and what they did to honor Jesus is they took the coats and they put them down on the street. So today, what I want you to do, we need help. We need to turn this church from Palm Sunday into Cloak Sunday. So each of you, I want you to grab one of these coats, and I want you to spread them out until they cover this whole street so we can remember Jesus, okay? So spread them out, and then come on back up here. Well, let's get you one. Okay, make sure to spread them out. Don't trip. Here's another one. There's another one for you. We got a lot of coats right here. All right. You want to put that one down for me? And then come on back up. The adults are joining right in. I love it. Come on back and sit down. So here on Palm Sunday, I want you to remember this and how what the disciples did was honor Jesus by giving Jesus their whole lives. And that's something I hope we do too. Let's say a quick prayer before I send you back to your seats. Loving God, we give you thanks for Jesus. We give you thanks for palms and for coats. God, we ask you to send us your peace. Amen. All right, you can go back and have a seat.
Oh,
Friends, please be seated. We come to a very, very special moment in the life of a church, perhaps the most important moment in the life of a church. In the United Church of Christ, we place a strong emphasis on covenant. We believe that we are drawn into relationship both with God and with one another. When we take new members into our churches, we only do it at worship, because when we do so, it is a promise made by those who are entering and the congregation of which they're becoming part. They will make promises, you will make promises, and in the midst of it, somehow, the Spirit will make them members of this church. It is a beautiful and wonderful thing. So I ask you, as we begin this promise-making process, if the congregation could pick up their bulletins, because you will need them, and let us start by reminding ourselves of our statement of purpose as a church. Let us all read that together. Our purpose as a church is to carry on the mission and ministry that God initiated in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, whom we recognize as the Christ. Our purpose is to represent Christ, God's saving and healing love, both locally and in the wider world.
The Litany of Intent. Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. These people have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ.
They have been led by the Spirit to affirm their baptism and to claim in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of the Christian church.
They are here, as we are here, to endeavor to love God with all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds. God help us.
They're here as we are here,
to endeavor to love our neighbors
as we love ourselves. God help us.
Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that. Friends who are joining, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place.
We give thanks for every community of faith, which has been your spiritual home, and we celebrate your presence in this household of faith. All right, and so now, I have some questions for you, and I have some questions for you. Those who are joining, do you promise by the grace of God to continue in your pilgrimage of faith, to be Christ's disciple, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, please answer, I promise, with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
Do you promise to walk with us in faithfulness and in Christian love? Do you promise, so far as you are able, that you will live into the covenant of this church? Will you worship God with us, seek to grow with us, and offer your gifts for the benefit of this church and the larger church of which this is a part? If so, please answer, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
These people have just made some big promises, and now it is up to you to make some promises back. I would ask that all the members of this congregation, please rise to your feet as you are able. Members of this local church, will you welcome these new members with joy in the common life of this church? Will you promise your friendship and your prayers? Will you minister to them and allow yourself to be ministered by them? If so, please answer, we promise with the help of God.
We promise with the help of God.
Will you share with them the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ? Will you grow with them together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior? If so, please answer, we promise with the help of God. And so now comes the time where we make you members. The way we do that is we all promise to live into the covenant of this church, which is printed in your bulletin. I ask all members and all people about to be members to join in reading our congregational statement of covenant. As we strive to fulfill our purpose, we covenant to worship together on a regular basis, to strive to grow spiritually, to open ourselves to follow God's leading in our lives, both individually and as a community of faith, support one another through life's trials and transitions, to support and participate in the wider Christian community, and support the institution of this church with our time, resources, and skill.
On behalf of this church family, we welcome you. We look forward to our journey of faith together. We give thanks for the chance to learn with you and to grow with you, to deepen our faith, to broaden our minds, and open our hearts. May God bless and enrich our time together.
Friends, please be seated. I ask you now to join your hearts and your minds with my own as we pray to God. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we come before you this morning just as we are. We come each from different places, and each from different spaces in our lives, seeking your love, seeking your grace, and seeking the gift of your wholeness. God, we praise you for the gift of love, shared freely here among this church, among friends, and among family. We praise you for the gift of Jesus. We praise you for the gift of this day, and God, for all that is in it. We give thanks for new members and for long-time members. We praise you for the laughter of children and the hope, yes, the hope that spring will someday be here. We praise you for the gift of life and for each and every breath we take. God, this morning we come as we are. We carry with us our brokenness, our shortcomings. God, if we were really honest, we would say to you now that we have not loved you this past week with our whole hearts. If we were totally and completely true with you, God, we would say that, you know what, we have not actually loved all of our neighbors as ourselves. As we approach Holy Week and all it holds, We come before you in silence, God, naming our sins and burdens that you might take them away from us. Oh God, we give you thanks for your grace and for your blessings. Help us, God, to leave those burdens behind us and to bask in the free offer of your forgiveness. God, you call us to be bound together in relationship. On this day, we celebrate the relationship of new members, and we come with joy in our hearts for all those that we love. And we also come with prayers for those who are in need. Now, in the moments that follow, we lift up names out loud, names of people, names of places, names of nations for whom we carry joy or concern. God, we name them out loud and lift them to your loving care. Friends, for whom do we pray? Gracious God, God of life, as we enter this holy week, I ask you to strengthen us to move beyond the festive parade of palms, to follow Jesus all the way to the upper room, and then even further, all the way to the cross, that united with him and with all the faithful, we may yet journey to the new Jerusalem and your dream for us that awaits. We fortify ourselves now for that journey by saying loudly and boldly the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I shall read more from the Gospel of Luke, and this reading is again, chapter 19, verses 45, actually to 48, and it's on page 913 in your pew Bibles. And then he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things there. And he said, It is written, My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him. But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard.
Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have to be honest, of all the gospel accounts of Palm Sunday, I love Luke's the best. Now, if you come back next year, when we're reading Matthew's account, I may tell you, of all the gospel accounts, I love Matthew's the best. But for right now and for today, I love Luke's account. Part of the reason I love it is because the story comes out of the mouth of a person to whom I think you and I can relate to. Luke never met Jesus. He tells you that right in the beginning of his gospel. But if you also look back to the beginning of that gospel, you will see that Luke says he talked to everyone and anyone who could tell him anything about Jesus. He investigated everything about Jesus' life carefully and thoroughly. And you know what? What he learned, Luke says, amazed him. The stories, the teachings, they changed Luke's heart and mind. And in the end, they changed his life. And isn't that why you and I are here? To change our hearts and minds and deepen our life. Amazed by what he learned, Luke filled all of his stories in the gospel with amazement. He uses that word for amazement more than any other gospel writer. Luke especially was drawn to the beauty of Jesus' message for the underdogs. You know, those for whom society makes life harder than it ought to be. Those who are carrying burdens. Those who are denied the potential to be fully who they are. And here on Palm Sunday, the hero of the underdogs finally makes his way into Jerusalem. And Luke, if you notice, he says the whole multitude is singing. And you know what? They are singing the exact same song that the multitude was singing at Jesus' birth. Glory to God in the highest. I love the way that Luke tells the story of Palm Sunday where there are no palms at all. You see, for Luke, following Jesus brings about a fundamental change in someone. Oh, cutting leafy branches and waving them about, yeah, that's a good thing. Shows honor and praise. But leaving behind your cloak, taking off your security and status in honor and praise of Jesus, well, that's the kind of thing you do when you're not just intrigued, but when you are amazed, when you're moved, when you're changed. It's a personal kind of thing to be engaged. But most of all, I love how Luke tells us that in the midst of all that singing and praise, in a moment where given Jesus' tough life, you got to believe he wanted to just sit there and take it all in and say, yep, that's me. But instead, he goes right to the heart of the matter. The great moment has come where the faithful finally recognize who he is, and Jesus knows he has to remind them why it matters. He knows that there is and there has to be a time for great joy and great celebration, like this very moment for us. I cannot tell you how happy I am and how we all rejoice over you, our new members, our found brothers and sisters. But then, and then, Jesus knows that with all that joy, there is the reality of living into why it matters. Jesus knows how precious the gift God offers us, and he knows that his own time is limited. And so rather than basking in that joy and waiting another day, Luke tells us that Jesus goes straight to work. Friends, likewise, we should love days like this. We should celebrate with our new sisters and brothers until our cheeks hurt from smiling. We should have tons of cake, and trust me, we are going to have tons of cake after worship. We should have coffee, we should put flowers on them, and we should hug them. And then, we should remember why it matters. In Luke, Jesus' demonstration at the temple is far less political, far less dramatic. In Luke, Jesus clears out that temple to remind the people that the temple, this place, is a place of prayer. He kicks out the vendors to remind the people that this, in the end, is a place of teaching and learning. In Luke's gospel, this is a place where a poor widow can drop all of her money, two tiny mites, into the collection plate, knowing that we will take care of and remember her. In Luke's gospel, this is a place where people can still listen to our still-speaking God and then leave spellbound. In Luke's gospel, this is a place where even if we, or even if this amazing choir were silent, the very bricks and stones would shout out in praise. It is a place that should sustain and heal us, a place that should mold and shape us into becoming faithful disciples. Did you hear, Mary? In Luke's gospel, Jesus spent every single day of his last week in the temple, teaching and praying, healing and changing lives. Now, before our new members got to this day, before Tigger and Linda and Mary Lou and Marjorie and Wayne and Norm and John and Rebecca and Bill, before they got here, they sat together and they shared their journeys of faith. We talked about this church. We talked about our tradition. Together, we looked at the UCC statement of faith, a statement I think Luke would absolutely love. Part of it proclaims this. It says that God calls us together as a church to accept both the joy and the cost of discipleship, to be God's servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, to resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism, to eat at his table, and to join him in both his passion and his victory. That is what being a church means. Being moved and changed, engaged and inspired to throw down our cloaks on the street. When Luke learned about Jesus, he was amazed. He left his life as a physician. He put down his cloak and became a disciple, traveling long and far with Paul to share the good news. The climax of Palm Sunday for Luke is not the entrance into the city, not the singing or the throngs, even though that is glorious. But rather, it is this moment that Mary read in the temple, where Jesus reminds us why it matters, that our faith is a calling to ever deepen our lives in prayer and learning. Friends, our calling is to become spellbound by God. For you who join today, I sincerely pray from the depths of my heart that today is not the climax of your experience with this church either, even though I hope today is truly glorious for you. Rather, I hope today is a day of a new beginning, a new journey, a life grounded in prayer, learning, and service, a journey into a life that is nothing but spellbounding. A journey, though, as we learn from Jesus' own journey, that is not and will not always be easy, not always framed in song or flowers or cake. A day that is full of joy and amazement, and then a life that demands all you are every day. Sisters and brothers, right now we stand on the edge. We stand together at the beginning of the single most important week of any year, Holy Week. With the sound of praise and hosanna still in the air, those who are threatened by Jesus and why he matters are already plotting to kill him. And we know it is only a matter of time before they figure out how. Luke's gospel tells us that there is joy and there is cake and there is praise in our life following Jesus, and there is also cost. As we turn to Holy Week ourselves this year, hold Luke's account of a joyful entrance into your heart, and then remember what Jesus did every single day of that week, teaching all who would learn, praying in this very room. It is what we should do this week too, a time to strengthen ourselves for the difficulty that lies ahead, to be together as family, to join Jesus in both his passion and his victory. For Luke, they are completely intertwined. Friends, this is the most important week of the year. I pray that you might be blessed by it. I pray that you might engage deeply in it and that you might deepen your faith through it. Amen. Friends, please be seated. On this day of all days, we remember just how much God has given us. In truth, God has given us all we are, all we have, and all we might be. The question that lays before us this morning is just how much of that we need to keep for ourselves. Friends, this morning's offering will be given and received.
Thank you.
Great and giving God, we give back to you what you have first given us. And God, we ask you to bless these gifts. Bless them that they might multiply and go out of this place as miracles of love to the world. God, and I ask this morning to bless each and every person who is here, that we might too go out of this place as miracles of love to your world. We ask all of this in the name of the greatest miracle we have ever known, our brother, our mentor, our teacher, and our Savior, the one we know as Jesus. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, please be seated. So our time of worship here in this room is drawing to a close, so that our worship of God may begin anew beyond this room. And as you go, I have a couple of invitations for you. First, I hope that all of you will come right through those doors and join us for a time of cake, a time of fellowship, a time to welcome our new brothers and sisters. They are going to be lined up along this wall so that you can shake their hands and meet each and every one of them, and I hope you will. Another invitation for those of you sitting in the middle of the church. I normally like it when people look up when they walk. Today, I invite you to look down and make sure that you see that there are cloaks here, that you do not trip and fall, because we would not like that. Friends, let us close our worship today in song. We stand at a turning point, with palms and with sounds of Hosanna still ringing in the air. We turn and we face Holy Week and realize just what we as people are capable of. Friends, as you go forth this week to look Holy Week straight in the face, I can think of no other blessing than this. Friends, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you truly need fear nothing, even death, nothing at all. And may the peace of Christ sustain you in the days to come and every day of your life. And let the people say, Amen.